muzzle of a battered Winchester appeared, followed by its owner. He was a tall man, several inches over 6 feet, heavily built, bald with a fringe of dusty gray hair, narrow eyes, and a full mustache. At first glance, Ryan made him out to be in his early 50s, which was a good age for the deserts of Deathlands.
Name's R.G. Ballinger. You and your friends are welcome to share God's repast with us. Come on in, slow and easy. Remember, we got blasters on you.
I'm Ryan Carter. We thank you.
There were four in the family. R.G. Ballinger, a widower, had been farming the valley for more than 20 years. His wife Martha had died several years ago. He had three children, two boys, Larry and Jim, in their 20s, and a daughter, Christina, who looked close to 30. She was a raw-boned, homely woman with a built-up laced boot on her left foot. She walked with an ungainly, hip-swinging motion, the boot clunking on the scrubbed plank floors at every step. Her hair was a stringy mid-brown, tugged back in a tight knot, and her eyes were a watery blue. There was the mark of a healing bruise on her left cheek. In the first couple of hours that Ryan and his companions were in the homestead, she never spoke a word. Ryan would have figured her as simple-minded if he hadn't glimpsed a spark of interest and intelligence when the conversation turned to outland matters.
You ain't heard of Skullface, son of Beelzebub, the Antichrist come to inherit with the Riders of Chaos?
Ryan shook his head at Ballinger's question.
No. He's some sort of raider?
Came down here a few months back. Got himself a band of mean sons of bitches. Women as well as men. Brought death and pestilence near the Grandee. But I heard tell as how he's riding north, burning the earth behind him.
Ballinger used the last of his cornbread to mop up the streaks of dark gravy off his tin plate. He snapped his fingers to attract his daughter's attention.
Huh?
Bring us some more stew, slut. Stop making eyes at these men. Just like the scarlet whore of a mother. Best keep your hands on your cocks while this steaming harlot's around.
Without another word, Christina served her father from a large iron cauldron. Her face was blank, her eyes not settling anywhere. Larry, the fatter of the two brothers, poked Jim with his elbow.
Pa told the slut, didn't he? Teach her keep her greedy eyes off men's weenies, huh? Keep it in the family like.
A chattering tongue is an offense to the courts of the Almighty, Larry.
Sorry, Pa. Won't happen again.
That's right. It won't, boy.
Christy broke the uncomfortable silence.
How'd your wife die, Mr. Ballinger? Sickness?
Could say that, Miss Roth. Kind of a sickness took her away from us. Wipe off the smiles, boys, or by the heavenly gaudy house, I'll wipe them off. Clear the table, slut.
Ryan was aware of the tension around the table at the brutal way the farmer treated his daughter. But it wasn't their business. That was one of the very first rules for survival in Deathlands.
Trade in the morning, folks.
Ballinger leaned sideways in his chair.
Guess you'd like some sleep?
Sure would. Seen a couple of small bunkhouses out back. You got some hired hands working the spread?
Ballinger had risen and turned away. At Ryan's question, he turned slowly back to face him, his small eyes glowing like late embers.
What have you heard, Mr. Carter?
Hey, talking to you's like walking over eggs, Ballinger. Just a question. You got a big spread, you got bunkhouses. So, you got some hands to help you work the land?
Not now. Not since we had us some trouble. Gippy Slut stays here, and me and the boys do the rest.
How much land?
Jack hadn't spoken since they'd arrived, and his question took everyone by surprise.
How much, son? Well, by Jesus and the blood of the shroud, you sure got white hair and scary eyes. To answer your question, used to have more than we do now.
It seemed yet another touchy subject, and the teenager contented himself with nodding. Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan noticed the disabled girl had been watching Jack with unusual interest.
Now, one place got 4 beds, the other got 3. The Negro woman sleep with you folks?
Wow, the Ofe's just all around offensive, isn't he?
Ofe?
Don't worry about it. I sleep in with Missy Roth, Mr. Charlie.
Have it your way. Slut'll take out some blankets. Talk business in the morning. Want to leave your blasters here with me? No? No. I guess not.
There'd been liquor offered during the meal, a raw corn spirit that threatened to take the skin off the tongue. Ryan and the others had drunk sparingly, but the two Ballinger boys had nuzzled into it like they were weaned on it. Both were red-eyed, thick-lipped, and staggering by the time the meal was finished. One of them hung on his father's shoulder.
Boy, I'd love to wade in that redhead's waters. Hey, Paul?
Ballinger waved a warning fist in his face.
Boy, the road of perdition lies in that bitch's pussy.
The old man suddenly noticed that everyone had watched the exchange and managed an insincere grin.
Boys, what the hell do you do with them, huh? At least they don't bring their troubles home with them like sluts do.
Mildred and Christy took the smaller of the bunkhouses. Christina Ballinger had shown them to their quarters, carrying a pile of bedding, shrugging away Jack's offer of help.
Thanks. We can manage now.
No. Pa said for me to do the bedding. He'd not take it kindly if I didn't.
She'd put the blankets on one of the bunks, and her hand rose unconsciously to touch the dark bruise on her face.
Sure. We get the picture. By God, but we do.
The girl managed something that came close to being a smile.
Pa's quick with his hand, but since Ma, I gotta do the beds. Gotta clean up the dishes, then makes the beds up for Larry and Jim.
She moved with a clumsy grace around the room, unfolding the bedding and tucking in the blankets with a practiced ease. Christy and Mildred stood and watched her, uncomfortable that they couldn't help. Jack had also hung around, waiting silently in the corner of the room by the door.
There. I did the other bunkhouse. Best get on back. You folks sleep well, and...
The young woman hesitated a long moment, looking over her shoulder toward the silhouette of the main homestead.
The door bolts, but the windows don't. Sleep light and watchful.
What's that supposed to mean, Christina? Are you saying there's some danger to us?
The door of the fortified house crashed open, and R.G. Ballinger bellowed into the still evening.
Get the fuck over here, you useless crip! Boys want to get to their beds!
Coming, Pa!
They watched her limp across the yard and vanish into the house. Nobody spoke for several long seconds.
Could open up that bastard's throat and smile.
Christy passed on the woman's warning to Ryan and the others.
I trust him and those two crazies about as far as I could throw them. We'll all take care.
Fancy a walk before turning in, lover? There's a small grove of sycamores by the creek.
Why not?
They just finished making love. It hadn't been one of the all-time apocalyptic earthshakers, but even when it wasn't terrific, it was still real good. They'd been plagued by stinging insects coming up off the slow-moving creek, and there'd been a coyote howling too close for comfort. Christy was pulling up her bikini panties when she paused, looked urgently at Ryan, and lifted a finger to her lips. Ryan had left his rifle alongside his bunk, but his 15-round automatic was in his belt. Without a word, he quickly fastened the belt on his pants and drew the blaster, reassured by the familiar feel of 25.5 ounces of concentrated power. Christy finished dressing, drawing her own Heckler & Koch P7A13 with a silvered finish and pointing it toward the house. She made the sign for someone walking, one man, alone.
Ballinger?
They both crouched into the thick undergrowth, watching in the pallid moonlight. For once, Ryan spotted him before Christy. He caught the pale gleam off the homesteader's bald head. Ballinger was walking fast, looking down at the winding path toward the narrow river. He didn't glance around and passed within 6 feet of Christy and Ryan. The man carried a squat 10-gauge sawed-off shotgun in his right hand. They could hear his boots crunching through the dry brush, and he stopped only 30 or 40 paces farther on. Ryan put his mouth so close to Christy's ear that he could taste the sweat on her skin.
What's he doing?
He's knelt down. Can't see. There's something there, like a stone.
A grave?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
Come on.
Moving with extreme caution, Ryan led the way among the stunted, dried trees. There was a very light breeze, and the river was murmuring over the stones, but they still didn't want to get caught creeping up on a man holding a sawed-off scatter gun. Ryan held up a hand. He could now see Ballinger, kneeling behind some scrubby mesquite. The gun was in the dirt. There was a white boulder with something written on it in faded red lettering. The homesteader was talking to himself. Or to the stone.
So the wheel turns, Martha. The circle is unbroken. The riders of the storm come from the east again.
Bellinger's voice sent a chill down Ryan's spine. He'd heard of folks who drew comfort from talking to dead friends or relatives, but this was something different.
Larry and Jim are going to do good. Help me, like they helped me with you, Martha.